Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap for Sunday, April 15th. Not actually tax day this year because it's a Sunday. And it is one of the shittier ones in Wisconsin of late. There are places like Green Bay with 23 inches of snow. We have, I think, 2 or 3 inches. I haven't been outside today. I've just been in the same clothes, smell like complete ass, and just been hanging around all day because that's what you do when you have a mid-April snowstorm. And also, the Bucks lost in overtime in Game 1. The Brewers lost their series to the Mets on a walk-off home run by Wilmer Flores. So it has not been the best Sunday for all of us here in the great state of Wisconsin. But we'll talk about those things and kind of give you a preview of what we're going to do Monday. I thought about maybe even canceling today because I was like, well, we are going to, you know, this is definitely our Monday morning topics for a lot of the radio shows, but we're going to get to you on Sunday because that's the type of podcast we are, ladies and gentlemen. So let's do it. SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know where to find us. SnowtapWI, it's a website. I want to see you guys visiting there. I have not seen enough. Want to see it? Show me some proof. Maybe I can send you out a t-shirt or something like that if we have some lying around. SnowtapWI, subscribe, SoundCloud, Twitter, Instagram. That screwed that up. So just subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher, and we are off. So the Milwaukee Bucks took a L in the first game in a dramatic game one. The Bucks lose in overtime to the Boston Celtics, 113-107. Just a really tough loss if you're a Bucks fan, because Milwaukee probably played, I don't think they played good enough to win this game, but I mean, they got such a great effort from Giannis and Chris Middleton, who had 35 and 31 together and really played awesome as a tandem. And it was a good game for those guys. But the fact that the Bucks got nothing from anyone other than Malcolm Brogdon was disappointing. I would expect that with Brogdon playing 32 minutes tonight, that he will be moved into the starting role, and the Bucks will go with that small ball lineup we saw at the end of the game and overtime. The question of what took you so long, Joe Prunty, is a real question, because Joe Prunty let John Henson basically play 37 minutes, and John Henson really had no business being out on the court. Now, John Henson should have played a decent amount, right? But he did not need to have Henson out there for that long. And the fact they inactivated Brandon Jennings, Shabazz Muhammad didn't play, Matthew Dellavedova didn't play, and Jabari Parker was a minus 14 PER and looked absolutely lost on the court. He couldn't have been worse. Same with Eric Bledsoe, we'll get to in a second. But Jabari Parker, man, this is a really weird, like, transition. I wouldn't even call it a heel turn. It's more of a, what the fuck? Like, maybe everyone was right. Like, everyone who hated on Jabari Parker, and I've definitely not been on that camp. I've been on the other side. I've been Team Jabari. I've said, sign this guy to a big deal. I've had, you know, my guy Eric Nolte has said it. He's on Twitter, EZE31. Good follow for you Bucks Twitter fans. He's said it before, like, you know, I'd rather see Jabari flourish here than flourish somewhere else with another team and become a star. And I've sort of had that same vibe, but I now wonder, like, I don't know if this guy fits. Like, his defense was so bad. Boston attacked him every time. Jaylen Brown went right at him multiple times, and Dean Millett of all the Bucks laid out why Jabari probably shouldn't play the rest of the series. Now, he will get in the game. I mean, but he probably should be sticking to about a 15-minute run. I mean, the Bucks were so bad with Jabari Parker on the court, and without him and Giannis and Chris Middleton, they were great. So what the hell do you do now with Jabari Parker? It was really eye-opening as someone who has been a Jabari Parker stan to look at this and say, holy shit, like, he doesn't belong here. Like, it doesn't work. Like, he's broken. Like, that defense is not good. And you wonder if you watch it. I mean, if Jabari continues this way, it's like, what do you do? What do you do the rest of the way if you're Parker? Because this pretty much means that it's sheets for you from a perspective of getting a big deal. I don't think this is what a team like maybe the Bulls or the Magic or some team who may have money or the Suns who may want to sign Jabari to a big deal. You don't want this guy playing 15 minutes. You want him playing 30 minutes like Brogdon did today. Brogdon was supposed to be on a minutes restriction of like 20 to 25. He played 32. I have to wonder if Dellavedova isn't fully healthy yet. They kind of want to ease him back in. I do expect Delly to play in game two. I think the turnaround time with it being Sunday and Tuesday, they wanted to give Delly a chance to kind of still stay warm there. So I think Delly will play in the second game. I still don't understand why Joe Prunty has beef with Sterling Brown. I think Sterling Brown could be a useful guy on this team, especially just even as a shit starter with that asshole Marcus Morris. I'm so out on Marcus Morris, by the way. He made some wild shots. And that's the other thing. Like, I know the Bucks lost. But they look so better down the stretch and even in overtime that it took a few weak Tony Snell lack of rebounds. Like, Tony Snell, I don't understand how Tony Snell can't just grab the fucking ball and just make a rebound. Like, he's allergic to it. Like, he cannot just grab the fucker and have a rebound. Like, it's out of Tony Snell's realm to actually do it, which is incredible that Tony Snell is that bad at rebounding the basketball, a fundamental thing that goes on in the game. So it breaks your heart, but at the same time, you look at this and you're like, okay, this can be fixed. The Bucks made an adjustment. I think you expect to see that same lineup come out in the game tomorrow or on Tuesday. And if you don't, then what are you doing, Joe Prunty? Is it something that you're going to use in doses? Like, you have to make adjustments in the playoffs. That's how any team wins, is making adjustments and throwing out maybe even what you did during the regular season. You have to cater to the team you're playing, and what you have to do is put Giannis at center. There is no other way around it. Giannis has to be the focal point, and he was awesome in this game, especially down the stretch. I understand some people were criticizing him for not taking it to the bucket. I don't know. I think Giannis did not have a feel for how the refs were calling this game. The refs were pretty bad in this game just overall. And I think the refs had zero idea what was a charge, what was going to be a block, that Giannis was afraid, that Boston, being the way they are with how they do take a lot of charges, he didn't want to pick up his sixth foul. And maybe he, as he gets older, he's going to be crafty enough to know like how to make that happen. But it was a tough look for Giannis, and I don't think he should be criticized for that, especially when you had a guy like Middleton rolling. Brogdon was hitting shots. I don't think you can really look at this. Brogdon was very good on Jason Tatum, by the way, and I think that is another key intricate that I think you'll see more of in Game 2. I'm not necessarily concerned. Even if the Bucks go down 2-0, I'm not really concerned. I know that's kind of a wild take, but I really think that this series is going to be 2-2 at the end of four games, no matter which way you cut it. Other things to note, I think, you know, Al Horford obviously getting to the line was a real factor. Marcus Morris with 21 off the bench was huge. Terry Rozier came up big late. I mean, he shook Eric Bledsoe out of his shoes. And yeah, the Celtics had nearly had five guys score 20 points, which is just absolutely crazy. And we'll see where the fatigue level is for these guys, because Brown, Horford, and Tatum all played up plus 40 minutes. Morris got 35. And the Bucks only had, I think the Bucks only had two guys that went over 40. Yes, with Giannis and Middleton, who are kind of machines. So that'll be interesting to see what the fatigue level is. I think it'll be really important, and we'll talk on Tuesday's podcast, that the Bucks will really need to come out and give a hard effort early on. And maybe sort of, if this team is a little tired out the gates, to kind of will this one out. Because a Game 2 win would be huge. To go 1-1 back to a fever and Bradley Center crowd on Friday night, which should be an absolutely electric atmosphere, would be fantastic. So, not too worried. I do want to mention, I was almost going to forget, and I can't let this guy slip by, is Eric Bledsoe. Oh my God, Eric Bledsoe was so bad today, guys. Like, he had his worst game of the year. Like, Eric Bledsoe was so tight. You could see it from the get-go. And I think if Delly was healthy, I think if Brogdon was fully back to strength, I don't think Bledsoe plays 33 minutes. I think he plays more like 25. but it was kind of forced. Joe Prunty's hand was forced. And I think Bledsoe will get better. I don't think that this is the only time that we're going to see Bledsoe struggle or infuriate it, because he has some infuriating capabilities, but he just was so lost. Like, he can beat Terry Rozier off the dribble. He can have his way with Terry Rozier, and he just was shook. And then the fact that Terry Rozier shook him completely out of his shoes for that final shot, and Bledsoe didn't run back out on him, kind of says it all about Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe is a guy who I think you've seen enough this year where you could make him a tradable piece to some team because he has the talent, but there are times where he just gets down on himself and he really doesn't want to take that extra effort. And I do think Bledsoe, I think he's done enough to wear out his welcome here, and I'm not really sold on bringing Eric Bledsoe back for another go-round. I think he helped this team, but he's not a guy who I really think can be vital for this team going forward. We will talk more about the Bucks as the week goes on. We'll talk overreactions, proper reactions on tomorrow's podcast, as well as a few other things. We are going to mention the Brewers lost real quick. So the Brewers take an L as well today with the bad weather. Not good. It was a nasty day in New York, like it was across the country. Noah Syndergaard was rolling, had 11 strikeouts. There was not much you could do. Cold weather game. Noah was just firing on all cylinders. Travis Shaw said it was like damn near impossible to keep up with what Noah was doing out there. You saw some of the video that came from this game, and you're like, what in the actual fuck's going on here? So the fact the Brewers nearly got a victory with Syndergaard on the mound is impressive enough. I don't think anyone should really have their heads held low about this road trip. The Brewers go 3-3. That's exactly what you want. You want to be 500. You're 500 after playing three potential playoff teams in the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Mets. Cardinals twice. I think that's just fine. Now you get the Reds, the Marlins, and the Royals, who are all off to slow starts, and you get them at home. You get two of them at home. Then you go to play the Royals before going to play the Cubs. And so you're going to get the friendly confines of Miller Park, warm weather with the dome for seven games, which should really benefit the Brewers. The Marlins, while not good, they're pesky. I think the Reds are actually probably maybe worse than the Marlins just from a pitching perspective. Their starting pitching is so brutal. Like, the Brewers have no excuse not to explode this week. I think this is really a true testament, but they are banged up, which is concerning. I mean, everybody seems to be hurt right now, and you have Ryan Braun down with some back tightness. You have Eric Thames that's going to be bothered by a groin injury. Christian Yelich, they're still not confident. I think the thing with Christian Yelich, I actually think Yelich is ready to go. I think the Brewers were worried about the weather because the weather changed so drastically in New York that, like, he did some drills on, and same with Pena, actually. I think so. McCallum kind of made this point, like, all these guys are hurt. I actually think, here's a bold prediction. I think Yelich and Pena are both in the lineup by Tuesday. I think they just did not want to put these guys through skills and drills in freezing cold temperatures and have the oblique, have the calf tighten up on these dudes. So I think there's nothing wrong. I think they're going to be fine and they'll be back. We'll see about Braun. We'll see about Thames. I think Thames is a bigger concern, but you do have Jesus Aguilar, and who's been mashing the shit out of the ball. And if you get Christian Yelich back, then it's not a problem. And this is exactly why the brainchild of David Stearns has worked so well, is because this team is loaded depth-wise and can kind of shift and move parts if need be. Growing issues are a thing, and cold weather, you just hate to see it. I know that the Braves, one of the Braves guys had said, like, we're all going to get the pneumonia because we've been playing out here. And I do think that we need to have a chat about schedule making and think about how exactly this can be fixed or try to be avoided as much as possible, because it does appear baseball has a little bit of a problem. And it doesn't happen all the time. It's kind of this is an anomaly April. It's been a weird April, and we'll talk a little bit more about Minnesota, insecurity of Minnesota fans tomorrow. Look forward to that. But you do wonder if this needs to be addressed by baseball and figure out how can we limit the amount of cold weather games, and would teams be okay with being on the road for 20 of the first 30 games? I don't know. I don't know how that would really play with the local media. I think on paper, you're like, yeah, play all our games in Texas, Florida, New York, or LA, like, Brewers played three games in New York without any trouble. I mean, granted, the Nationals Mets tomorrow night could get canceled because they're expecting a lot of heavy rain coming in. So yeah, it's just kind of a no win situation here with baseball. Weather's going to happen. And yes, but to get a whole series almost wiped out like the Twins did, not a great look, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. Yeah, so I'm not entirely concerned with the loss. I think Matt Albers just had one bad pitch. I knew it looked bad. He hung a pitch, and Flores smacked it, and he smacked it for a home run. Shit happens. You're going to lose ballgames in that way, and you hate to see it, but it happens. So I'm not going to worry. Josh Hader on Saturday night was absolutely orgasmic. He's in the top 10 in strikeouts, and he's a fucking relief pitcher, which is incredible. And so whenever Josh Hader Day comes up, which probably be tomorrow if the Brewers are in a tight one with Cincinnati, we will look forward to it. So we'll talk more about the weather situation tomorrow. Also, I kind of want to get a little bit into the NFL draft about kind of top guys the Packers are looking at and likes and dislikes and sort of take a gander at that. And like I said, NBA overreactions and proper reactions. We'll do that. We'll include the Bucks into that conversation. So we will touch on the Bucks again tomorrow, and we'll be back. So once again, SnowtapWI is where you can find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe to us on all the channels. You guys know it. SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. And while you're at it, make sure you're visiting SnowtapWI on a regular basis. Send me some screenshots. I'd love to see you guys checking out our content on a regular basis. I'll make sure to throw something out to you in return. All right, guys, take care. Stay safe in this weather, and we will talk on Monday. Later.